New Jersey is providing truly historic tax relief. Living in New Jersey is about to become more affordable under the new Anchor Property Tax Relief Program created by Governor Murphy and the legislature. The state will soon deliver over $2 billion in tax relief to more than 2 million homeowners and renters. Eligible New Jerseyans can receive up to $1,500. Apply today. Even if you didn't qualify under the previous program, you may now. The deadline is February 28th. Visit anchor.nj.gov. Hello, Immigrantly listeners, and welcome back to another exciting episode of your favorite weekly podcast with me, Sadia Khan. Now, usually on this show, I'm joined by a guest who shares a little bit about their experience as both an immigrant and a human doing great things in the world. Those who know me know that I am all about breaking stereotypes, sharing other people's stories, and hopefully opening up more space for cross-cultural conversations. This week, though, my special guests will actually be people from the Immigrantly team. Isn't that exciting? And in honor of Valentine's Day, we are going to be discussing love, dating, and what that looks like for younger generations. Stay tuned because we've got some juicy conversations coming up. Before we jump in, I want to take a moment to also recognize Black History Month. You know, the way I see it, it's not enough to just know Martin Luther King or Frederick Douglass. There is so much history that schools simply don't teach. So if you're really interested in learning more, which I really hope you are, you've got to do the work. So for this episode, I am going to recommend that all of you check out the podcast Black History Year on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This podcast is great for a quick yet wide array of Black history that will definitely get you invested in learning more. And now to our today's episode. So I have a quick question for all of you. How do you feel about dating apps? Is there or has there been a profile of you floating on Hinge, Tumblr, Bumble, or Grindr somewhere? Don't worry, I'm not trying to expose all of your dirty little secrets. It's just that dating apps are becoming more and more popular, especially for the younger generations, and I am curious about that. Not for me, of course. I'm happily married, but I do have two daughters, and one of them is at the dating age, you know, the one defined by the broader American culture. So I'm curious to know more about how these dating apps work. Now, a survey conducted in 2019 by the Pew Research Center found that 48%, can you believe it? 48% of Americans aged 18 to 29 have used a dating app before. So basically half the population between 18 to 29 have used it. Now, I do understand that some of you may not want to use an app to find love, which is absolutely fine. But you know what? This isn't even the first time in human history that a third party has helped someone choose their next partner. I think you know what I'm referring to, right? So let me ask you this. Would you ever let your parents set you up with someone? Yep, I am talking about arranged marriages. Now, arranged marriages get a bad reputation as being some awful thing that is forced upon you. But here at Immigrantly, we are all about debunking these stereotypes. As some of you may know, I was born and raised in Pakistan, and I say this quite often during my episodes, where arranged marriages are pretty common, right? So to set the record straight, your parents do not force you to marry anyone. By the way, we did a whole episode on arranged marriages in season 13, which was dedicated to love and relationships. So if you haven't checked that out, go back to season 13 of Immigrantly, find that episode, listen to it, and you'll be pleasantly surprised. Anyways, coming back to arranged marriages, they simply connect you to someone who might be a good match. And from there, you're definitely free to say no. I personally do not have an arranged marriage, but I was never opposed to my parents helping me find someone. But here in the US, I feel like people find it cringy. But let's be honest, are dating apps that different from arranged marriages? Think about it. Someone other than yourself is putting you in contact with someone you might end up in a relationship with. And even if your goal is not to get married, which is again fine, why do so many people trust an algorithm over their family? Now, I do understand that some people may think that their parents aren't good resources, or maybe they would give horrible suggestions, because sometimes parents do. But honestly, how many people have gone on dates from Bumble or Hinge or whatever platform you're using, and it's been horrible? Look, I am not trying to convince you. I just want to start the conversation. Like I mentioned earlier, we decided to talk to a few members of the team about this particular topic to get their perspective and get the conversation going. So, two people from our team, Kayla Lupoli and Shay Yu, sat down to have a conversation around love, relationships, dating apps, and much more. So here's their conversation about love. I hope you enjoy it.
Hi, I'm Shay. I'm the podcast assistant at Immigrantly.
I'm Kayla. I am the social media manager.
All right. So we're going to be talking about love, relationships, and a bunch of other things that kind of go hand in hand with that. And we have a list of questions that we're going to be answering today.
I have been in a long-term relationship for 11 years now, a very long-term relationship. I am still dating my high school sweetheart, which is very nice. And it does take a lot of work to be with somebody that long. What about you, Shay?
My relationship status is a bit complicated. I was in a 3-year long relationship with my college roommate. We both graduated in May and we're living together, but recently decided to take some time apart.
Yeah, sometimes you have to. Like, I did not live with my partner for like the bulk of our relationship because we were a long distance. So growing independently is definitely an important part of any relationship, in my opinion. So kudos to you two for like deciding that's what you needed.
Yeah, I mean, hearing about your 11-year relationship is just like so amazing. And I definitely want to hear more. But I guess we can jump into the first question. What does romantic love mean to you? And what do you value in relationships?
Romantic love to me means finding someone who loves your quirks and your little weirdness, and they have their own quirks, and the two of you just work well together regardless of those little quirks. And I think that's what romantic love is, just learning to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And then for what I value in relationships, I definitely value independence and learning to listen and not butting head to head as often as you think you should, like learning to just hear the other person out and hear what they're saying and being able to hear that and react accordingly and not just with your like first initial emotional response.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
This is definitely the toughest question for me to answer. And it's funny because it's the first one. For me, it's like romantic love is something that's really confusing and beautiful to experience. And I think just like growing up, I put a lot of emphasis on like the passion that I thought was required for something to be considered like romantic, which I think is part of it for sure. But I thought like romantic love meant passion and like the expression of passion. So that meant like romanticizing like summer flings or like playing up narratives that we were used to seeing in movies, like falling for your best friend or your neighbor, like something that was like straight out of a fairy tale. But I think from being in a committed relationship, like learning that romantic love is a lot more than just unadulterated passion or the fairy tale. It's like commitment, care, affection, and acceptance of the other person. So like what you mentioned with like their quirks and like all the little things. And someone that I met like really recently actually told me that their definition of romantic love was loving the other's pursuit of their passions.
Oh.
Which I just thought like was something that was really beautiful and like that kind of resonated with me.
I love that.
But in terms of like what I value in relationships, like I think similar to you, it's like my independence. Like I value the space to be an individual despite being with another person. Just like learning to be with myself. And I think I still really value like having freedom.
Yeah, no, you can definitely be with someone 24/7 and still be your own independent person, which I think this is only something you can really learn when you're living with a committed partner. Like that's such a unique experience. Have you used dating apps before? Now or would you in the future?
I have used dating apps before. And I'll use them now too, but it's more like making friends on Bumble BFF or like getting restaurant recommendations when I'm in a new area. Like I think one of my prompts on like my dating profile is like asking people for like the best pho restaurant in the area because my favorite food is pho. And like I just like to hear what people like say, and I feel like it's a good way to like crowdsource information and meet new people. But my experiences with dating apps, I like haven't met anyone on dating apps who I like pursued a relationship with, but I definitely think it's possible to meet like your partner or your best friend on dating apps. But I think it's like both people have to take it as seriously as each other, because I think dating apps can be really like soul sucking and just like another way to mindlessly scroll on your phone. I think it can also enable a lot of like toxic behavior of wanting like external validation from other people on your appearance.
Yeah.
But I think it can be like a really helpful tool depending on like how you want to be using it. Like, are you using it for hookups? Like, are you using it for a serious committed relationship? There's also like different dating apps, I feel, based on like what you're looking for. Like, I feel like the stereotype for like Tinder is like hookups and one-night stands.
Yeah.
And then Hinge is more like relationships and commitment. And Bumble is, I don't really know, like I only really use the Bumble BFF version of it.
Yeah, no, Bumble BFF is great. I think it's so fun.
Yeah.
But Tinder definitely has a stereotypical air about it, like, or a certain vibe, or like, there are those really fancy dating apps that you hear about where people pay to like be members of. So it's a question of, do you actually have a better experience on those apps you pay for?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Or is Tinder just the baseline? Every dating app is the same.
I think like for the people who are willing to pay for those apps, I feel like they definitely think it's worth it because they are looking for like elitism.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Like either like I don't know if it's like a certain income bracket or like a certain level of like attractiveness, but I definitely think it's like very self-selecting. Like the people who are on those apps like want people like them. Have you used dating apps before?
I feel like for me, I'm definitely somebody who likes to go out. Like, I'll go to concerts or I'll go out just with friends. I feel like it's easier for me that way because I'm in a more social setting. If I'm sitting there doom scrolling on a dating app, I think it could get very similar to just doom scrolling on Twitter or Instagram.
Yeah, definitely.
Like with Bumble BFF, I feel like it's a little different because everybody's just there looking for friends. But when it comes to an actual dating app, I think I would definitely be the type of person who would doom scroll. It would definitely mess with my self-image and stuff like that because all of like validation and like, what if this person doesn't think my joke's funny? Stuff like that, I think would really get to me because I'm a sensitive person.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people like feel that way. A lot of people like delete and then re-download it. And like, it's like a cycle. And I do think like the more time I spend on dating apps, like the worse I do feel.
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Are there certain characteristics on someone's profile that would make them a definite no for you even before you met them or speak to them?
Okay, this is going to sound judgmental, but if you are holding a fish in your profile picture as if you just finished fishing, I'm going to swipe away from you. Or if you have like a Salt Life sticker in the frame of your photo, no. I just know.
Yeah.
I guess like if the bio is vaguely gross or like just rubs me the wrong way, I'm like, no.
Like, what do you mean by gross?
I guess personality or moral wise, which can be very judgmental. But if your like politics and your morals just in general, like you are kind of a bad person, that's just like a no for me, like because we will not get along. Like that's a no. But, yeah, I think those are my two like big things. How do you feel though? Like what are your icks?
I think something similar comes to mind, which is like as like someone who identifies as queer, like I find if like someone writes or includes their like politics or like religion in their profile, I just kind of have like an alert in my head of like, is this person homophobic? Like what are their opinions on like gay marriage, that kind of stuff? Like I think it's just like interesting to think like, I don't think I would think to put my political affiliation or I'm not religious, but like I don't think I would put that in my dating profile.
Oh yeah.
So like for people who do, are they searching for people with similar beliefs? I just like think it's a really interesting thing of like, what are you trying to signal?
Yeah.
If you say you are conservative and Christian, like what are you trying to tell me?
Yeah, I agree, because if you have that like advertised and you're not letting it come up in an organic manner, that's very intense. Like you are just putting yourself out there, and who knows like what the swipe rate is. Is that a correct term? Swipe rate? Yeah, it's just, that's very intense. That's like a very intense personality as well. Like that is also a little bit of a red flag. Like if you are just like that, like adamant.
Yeah, and I'm trying to be like, am I being too judgmental here by like calling that out? Or like, is it, I don't know, maybe it's just important. They're like, this is part of me, this is my identity, and like, I want people to know. But I think just like someone who personally, like I don't identify strongly with either politics or religion, so I don't know, it's just something that stands out and that I notice and like would probably just like keep it in my head, like if I were to engage in a conversation with this person.
No, yeah, I'm the same way. So I hear you.
I'm trying to think what else. Like, I think like soft boy behavior.
Oh my God.
Which is like hard to explain, but it's like they're trying like too hard to project like an image of who they are, like having like alternative taste in music or like books or movies, like mentioning that you write poetry, like that kind of stuff.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, I think it just comes across as like inauthentic.
Yeah.
Which maybe is like my biggest reason I would swipe no on someone. But then you're like, oh, we're on dating apps. It's all like superficial. It's all an image. But I feel like you can kind of tell just like based on like the photos or language that people use, like to tell me like, are they this person or are they trying to like project to be this person? What does it mean to compromise for someone you care about? Are there compromises you're unwilling to make?
I think to compromise for someone you care about means that you're willing to put your own pride aside for a little bit to make things work. And you're willing to listen to what that other person is saying and why they think you should compromise. But compromise is hard. That's definitely something a lot of people have to work on, myself included. Like, I am stubborn, so like compromise can be really hard.
Yeah, that's so interesting that you talk about it in terms of pride and kind of like arguments, I think, which is not how I was thinking about compromise. How I was thinking of it was kind of like, to compromise for someone means like holding space for their needs without compromising your values.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, if my partner likes to go to bed early, then like I'll read outside or like watch something with headphones because like it's something that like easy that I can do to like help them that isn't like taking away like who I am. I kind of want to talk a little bit more about like what you said with like pride. That's like a big factor for sure, and like why people are bad at compromising.
Yeah, I think people can often be set in their ways. Mm-hmm. So when you introduce a partner into your life, there are definitely things you can't do anymore, or like there are certain ways you do things and they do it completely different. And I think it's easy to have it devolve into an argument and you kind of have to compromise to figure out a solution.
Yeah.
It could be something as simple as like compromising on how you put the dishes away. Like something as mundane as that, where you're working together to like figure out a solution. It can be as simple as that. Like it doesn't have to be some who gets to like sign the paperwork for something. Like, I don't know. I think it just comes down to like respecting that other person also.
Yeah.
And listening to what they have to say. And it's not like a you versus them sort of thing. It's just a you not knowing where they're coming from situation, because we all have different life experiences and compromise helps you come together. And a lot of people look at it as like a bad thing, but I don't think it is.
I agree. Yeah. I don't think compromising is a bad thing. I think like a lot of people do fight about like the dishes or like, you know, like small things like that.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think like if people do have like two very big, like fundamentally different beliefs and like, do they need to compromise on those, or they can just like be like, we both think these separate things and like that doesn't mean we can't be together, right? Like, I feel like that's another form of compromising in terms of like, we don't need to both be on the same page about this. Like, we're both okay that we both think separate things.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a great form of compromise, deciding, okay, we don't have to agree on this one thing and we respect each other's opinions. And I think that's a hard thing for people to realize, because I think that's kind of a healthy mindset when it comes to compromise, knowing that you can have your own opinion and respect the other person's opinion, and you still work together. And I think that's what really matters.
Does it seem like newer, younger generations are less likely to get married? If you think so, why do you think so? If you don't think so, is this something you can see yourself doing?
I don't know. I feel like I see a lot of young people getting married. And I also see a lot of young people say, like, they'll never get married. But I think it's kind of a mixed bag, if only because I guess millennials and Gen Z are definitely the ones who lived through like really intense divorces. I feel like there was a huge divorce rate in like the 90s and the early aughts. And I think that definitely plays a huge factor. But like you said, I've been with my partner for 11 years. And for a very long time. I said, like, I'm never getting married. Like, and then last year I got engaged.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations. Oh my gosh.
Thank you. Yes.
That's amazing.
Thank wow. you. Yeah. I think you'd be fine. Like, your person, your opinions will change.
Mm-hmm.
So we think even if younger people and younger generations are less likely to get married stats-wise, who knows? Because you might find somebody who totally changes your mind. What do you think?
I don't know if I have a good gauge on whether, like, younger generations are less likely to get married. But I have had, like, a lot of conversations with, like, my friends about whether or not they want kids. Or, like, if it's ethical to have kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, like, part of it is just, like, this uncertainty of the future. Like, for me personally, it's hard to picture, like, a healthy, thriving planet after, like, the year, like, 2030.
No, I'm right there with you.
So it's, like, hard to just, like, even picture, like, getting married or, like, growing old with someone when I'm not sure if our planet will be around in, like, 50 years. But in terms of getting married, I think before the pandemic, I would say, like, hookup culture meant that people were less likely to commit to long-term relationships and marriages, or, like, in my circles, that's kind of how I felt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think, like, during the pandemic, it made a lot of couples, like, commit more quickly and more intensely, right? With, like, being quarantined together. And, like, it definitely happened in my relationship. Like, I think you had mentioned something about how that happened in your relationship. And I'm, like, I'm kind of curious, like, do you think it was part of that that led to you being engaged?
Yeah, definitely. Living together, speed run, essentially, because we were together 24/7. So it was just like, we had to learn super quick, like, can we live together and can we live together well?
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge factor that pushed us in that direction, because we didn't live together. So we didn't know each other's quirks, like getting up in the middle of the night to get water or like staying up later than one another. The pandemic really did push us towards realizing, okay, we can live together. We can live a life together. And like you said, the pandemic really did produce a lot of marriages.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of kids came out of quarantine, which I feel like is normal. What about you? Because you also lived with your partner in quarantine. Like, did you feel similarly, or like, how did it feel to you?
I think so, because we were roommates before being together, like, we already knew each other's quirks, right? Like, all those things that you find out after moving in together, like, we started by living together. And I think, like, during the pandemic and in quarantine, just, like, spending all of our time together, it was just like, yes, like, of course I could see myself, like, being with this person forever. And I think also a lot of, like, young and queer relationship, it's like the U-Haul relationship. Like, I don't know if you've heard that term, but it's just like saying, like, in the queer community, how, like, relationships move really fast. Like, after the first date, like, you're ready to get married. And that's definitely, like, what we experienced in terms of just, like, how intensely and, like, how we felt about each other. But I mean, that was definitely, like, a product of quarantine and college and, like, just being young.
Mm-hmm.
I can definitely see myself getting married in terms of, like, who I am as a person and, like, my beliefs. But again, it's just, like, hard to think that far in the future and, like, what is going to happen, like, before I get married, like, all the things in between now and that happening. There's just a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah. I think also it's hard to see where we're at globally and politically and, like, everything going on in the world and say, okay, like, I want to get married so I have, like, one good thing, like, that will keep me going. I think it's hard to realize that's, like, an okay thing to say. Like, marriage is, like, if you're with somebody who you really love and want to spend your life with, I think it's okay to have, like, something that brings you joy when the rest of the world is on fire.
Right.
Even if it's, like, a quick marriage, like, down in Las Vegas.
Right. Yeah, our senior trip in college was to Vegas, and we, like, joked about, like, wouldn't it be so funny if we just got, like, married in Vegas on our senior trip? But we didn't. How did you know that you wanted to marry your partner?
I think it really came down to him knowing, like, all of the baggage I come with and like all of my like own insecurities. And he just kind of is like, no, like you are like a good person. And I think knowing that he thinks I'm a good person was kind of just like, okay, mm-hmm. like I can like see myself just like vibing with him.
Yeah.
And like being good for like each other for a really long time.
Would you let your parents set you up with someone? Why or why not? I feel like my first reaction was like, no, like never. And then I was like, maybe I would do it for fun. Like, I wouldn't go to them to find me a serious partner. Mm-hmm. So like, maybe I shouldn't do it and like waste like people's time. But I think the main reason is because my parents and I just like, we don't talk about love, dating, relationships. Like, I never told them about any of my crushes growing up, except like I had a celebrity crush on like Benedict Cumberbatch and they knew about that. But like, we don't talk about it. I don't know if it's like a cultural thing, like growing up in an Asian American household. Mm-hmm. Like the way I introduced them to my partner, who they had already met as my college roommate and like close friend, was just like at Christmas dinner during the pandemic over Zoom. And it was just like, hey, here's this person who I'm dating. And like that was all like they ever got. I just, I guess, keep my personal life to myself. So I feel like I was like, I don't think they'd have any idea of my dating preferences, but maybe they'd be able to find me a good partner just based on like how they know me as their child.
Yeah.
So I'm very like skeptical, but I'm like curious about the experience.
Yeah.
What about you?
Oh, absolutely not. I would never let my parents set me up with someone. And that's not to say like I don't trust their opinions. Like, I just don't think that they would be able to find someone for me that I would really get along with. I have like a lot of weird quirks of just like my interests of like nerdy things or like wanting to be like left alone for like long periods of time, just to like relax my brain. And I think that's something that they don't really consider if this partner wanted to like meet me or something. Mm-hmm. Like, we wouldn't see eye to eye, I guess, in terms of like partners. And that's kind of where I'm like, no. Also, like, grew up in an Italian American household. Like, I do not want any part of like Italian American men or women or anything near me. Like, no, thank you. Which, like, I do trust my parents, but also like I was a firsthand witness to like their own marriage. So like, mm-hmm. I would not want to have that repeat in my own life.
Right. It's more so like curious about who they would set me up with as opposed to like actually wanting to find someone out of that.
Yeah.
Like, who do they think I'm into?
Yeah. I'd be so curious. Mm-hmm. Because like, there are certainly things that like my parents like either like don't know or like don't care about in terms of like things I like or like things I like go out and do. So like, what type of person would they set me up with when they don't know like little things like the type of music I like or something like that?
Yeah.
It'd be fun to just like do a simulation of that.
This was such a fun conversation to have with you, Kayla. Let's do it again sometime.
Yeah, it was so much fun talking to you, Shay. We should definitely do it again.
Wow. I learned so much about Shay and Kayla through this conversation, and I hope it gave you, our listeners out there, a little food for thought this Valentine's Day. So my question to you is, how do you think about love, relationships, and dating? Can it really be as easy as swiping right? Or does it have more complexity and nuance, as evident from Shay and Kayla's conversation? If you enjoyed this conversation, make sure to check out some of our other content on any podcast streaming platform, including Apple Podcast and Spotify. We have over 200 episodes for you to listen to on your morning walk, your chores around the house, or your drive to work. So you can pick a new episode every day. But don't forget to check our episode on arranged marriages. It is so relevant to the conversation we just had. And of course, don't forget to check us out on immigrantlypod.com and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok for more great content. This episode was written by Michaela Strother, produced by me, Sadia Khan. The editorial review was done by Shay Yu. And our amazing, amazing editor is Hazik Ahmed Farid. Until next time, take care.